Well, hey, good morning, church family. Come on, let's stand up across this room. God has been so good, so faithful to us. We can't help but sing unto Him today. He's done great and mighty things among His people. Let's worship Him.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what a Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things.
Amen.
He has done great things.
Sing it out.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer.
This morning, God's given us a beautiful day to worship Him. Sing it. You've been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm.
Yes, you have.
You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
And I know
you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen.
About all the many things God's done for you. You can't help but praise Him. He's put a song in our heart, the song of redemption, and we're going to sing it together.
He led me out of the desert, brought me into His streams, river of living water, and turned my bitter into sweet, and all my burdens I lifted. You took the shackles off my feet. There's no sound louder than a captive set free.
Come on, sing it.
So let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
That's right.
Sing of His promises.
gives us joy each and every day. Here we go.
There is joy in the morning.
Spring it up.
Spring it up in my soul. There is life worth living.
Oh, yes, there is.
'Cause he calls me his own. And there's a hallelujah after sweet victory.
Here we go.
And there's no sound louder than a captive set free.
Sing it again.
Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore.
Oh, pour out your thankfulness.
Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, then he's put a song in your heart. Not about the way you sing, but it's an attitude of your heart. So church, let's declare it together this morning. You are my deliverer. I'm walking in your freedom today. Let me hear you sing it loud. You are my deliverer. Come on.
You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in.
Sing it again.
You are my deliverer. You are my promised land.
Even louder.
You are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer, you are my promised land.
Here we go.
You are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in.
Oh,
you are my deliverer, you are my promised land.
Yes,
you are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. Deliverer, you are my promised land.
Sing it out.
Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Fantastic. Hey, before you're seated, turn to someone standing next to you and just say, good morning. Good morning. God is in this place.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
So we've had baptisms in both our first two services. And so turn your attention to the baptistry today and let's celebrate with these families that are being baptized today.
Yes, well, good morning, church. We are redeemed, and we have many reasons to celebrate today, including celebrating believers' baptism. First, I want to introduce to you Zoe Sliger. Zoe grew up in East Texas and grew up in a Christian home, but upon coming to Prestonwood, hearing the gospel preached, she trusted in Jesus as her Lord and Savior and is being baptized as a testament to his faithfulness today. So, Zoe, are you being baptized today? Because you know that you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, based on that public profession of faith and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister in Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. And this is Bryce Nibling. Bryce is also coming from a Christian home, and growing up in church, heard the gospel preached many times, but it was at home where he prayed a prayer with his family, trusting in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and made that public by standing in one of our Easter services this year. So Bryce, are you being baptized today because you know that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, good job. Well, based on your public profession of faith and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Well, we sang about it, and now we got to see it. The redeemed of the Lord, Zoe and Bryce, saying so, giving their testimony for us this morning. Well, good morning, church family. If you and I have not been personally acquainted, my name is Tasha Calvert, and I serve the women of Prestonwood. And on behalf of our entire staff, team, and family, we want to welcome you to worship this morning on this sort of first Sunday of summer. I know many of us are out of school, and there's a few of us that are not out of school. So wherever it is that you fall on that spectrum, we are certainly glad you've chosen to be with us this morning. And if you are a guest with us for the first time, we're especially glad that you're here, and we would love to get to know you. In fact, at the conclusion of this service, we would invite you to just exit those doors in the back and go to the middle of the atrium at our guest central, and we would love to put a gift in your hand and tell you a little bit about Prestonwood, as well as hear what brought you our way. And for those of us joining online, we are also glad that you are with us this morning, and we would love to connect with you. In fact, you can text the word connect to 55125, and we will get some information in your hand. And that is a wonderful reminder as we go into these summer months, where many of us move about a little more freely than we do during the year. I would just remind you that we do have the availability of watching online. We stream our services every week, and so just make sure that you stay connected even when you're out of town. We would love to have you joining us for worship. I'm going to invite our ushers forward at this time. We're going to continue to serve God and pray and just worship through our giving of tithes and offerings, and I invite you to join me in prayer. Father, we are so thankful to be here as the redeemed, lifting up your name, glorifying you. God, we ask that you would move through Pastor Connor as he speaks to us today and brings a word. Father, I just pray that you will be with all the families in here as we have been going through this series, The Way Home, Lord. We are just asking that you move in families, Lord, nucleus of families, and then in our church family. God, we are just asking for you to show up and be present. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Tasha. And I agree, this sermon series has been powerful in my own life. I've left here many Sundays kind of wrecked, actually, because of God's word in my heart, just convicting me in areas. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Connor and his obedience to preach God's word so powerfully. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus talks in parable about the home, about our families, about our lives. I want to read this over us before we continue to worship. Build your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded or built on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Jesus, we don't want to fall. We want to build our lives and our families and our homes upon you, and you alone. You are our firm foundation, our trusted foundation. I want to invite you to stand once again. Let's lift this song to Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
The only one.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Let's sing it together, church. Sing holy.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. You are worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Declare it together.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Only for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one.
Thank you, Lord.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Lives, our homes, our families. We want to build our lives on you and you alone.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you.
All my days, I I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Yes. Come on, lift your voice and sing. Make this your prayer today, all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God.
So good. Praise the Lord. Beautiful worship today. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. And if we have never been introduced, my name is Connor Bales. It is my joy to serve as the pastor here at the North Campus. And to those who are tuning in online, welcome. We are delighted to have you with us in worship. If you brought your copy of God's Word, grab that and go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as you're turning there, I need to remind you of something and then make a pastoral plea to you this morning. The first is the reminder, and that is that Adventure Week is just a few weeks away. If you're unfamiliar, Adventure Week is our vacation Bible school. It is the largest outreach effort that our children's ministry has here within our church. And as of this week, we have just right under 2,000 students registered here at the North Campus, and we are so excited about that. But here's my pastoral plea. We are behind on volunteer recruitment, and so I'm just going to be unapologetic in saying we need your help. I need more adults that would be willing to shift your schedule if you're working. Vacation Bible School ends at lunch every day, and so if it's possible for you to shift your work schedule to make yourself more available, if you have students that are outside of the range of Vacation Bible School, so they're middle school or high school, and so you're wondering, okay, what do I do with my kids? Bring them and let them serve with you. We really, really need your help. I refuse as pastor to turn any family away. We are not going to do that. The way we are not going to do that is because we need more of you who would be willing to roll up your sleeves and serve. I need grandparents who are retired that have margin in your schedule to serve with us. I need young families, young parents. I need young singles. I need working professionals. Please consider serving with us for Adventure Week. There's two ways you can register. So you can text the word AWSERVE, that stands for Adventure Week Serve, to 55125. You could do that right now. Or when we're dismissed, you could stop by the registration table out in the middle of the atrium, over shaded on the kids' side of the check-in area, and you could talk to a volunteer leader and find out more information about the ways in which you could plug in with us. Please help us make Adventure Week a great success. I feel personally responsible for every person, most particularly every child that a family entrusts to our care, and for us to be able to make sure that we serve these families well. We need more of us to do that. So please consider serving with us for Adventure Week. Now, we are in week 7, if you can believe it, of this sermon series entitled The Way Home. And what we're talking about is God's design for human good, for our flourishing, including the primary gifts of marriage and family. And last week on Mother's Day, we talked about the high calling of parents to shepherd and to steward and to serve our children that God has temporarily gifted to us and entrusted to us, but they are supernatural gifts that come from Him. And so today our conversation is going to concentrate on children and the calling of God to walk in respect, to understand what obedience and honor look like as we seek to submit ourselves to the ordering that God has planned for the flourishing of all people. Throughout this series, we've spent a great deal of time in the creation narrative, going all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, to discovering for ourselves from God's Word how is it that He designed and ordered things to work, and in particular within the context of marriage and family. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we read this last week, God spoke and He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Scholars tell us that is the cultural mandate that God has assigned to humanity. It speaks to the understanding that we have for human dignity, that all people have an intrinsic value, dignity, and worth, because people, distinct and unique from anything else in the creation, bears the image and carries the likeness of God. We understand this is why we believe in procreation, human population, that by God's good design, husbands and wives are to become moms and dads, and then God's little image bearers are populating His creation. And then we understand that this is the responsibility for us to steward, that God has assigned to us a unique responsibility to steward and to manage and to be responsible for the creation. And in particular, that responsibility begins within the home. And so because we hold to this biblical conviction that children are gifts from God, and we understand the high calling He has placed on parents, then we want to walk in responsibility as children on what it looks like to honor our moms and our dads. And this parent-child relationship is a unique one because, again, it's a part of the framework for our understanding. Here's how God designed it, and here's how we should walk in it. And think about this in terms of building. We live in one of the fastest growing areas in the country, and all of our school districts are building new schools and trying to keep up with the growth and the population increases and just the number of students that are being added to our school districts. This is true for all of the area school districts around you and me. And I have a dear friend of mine who's primarily responsible for that, even here within our local school district. And it would be unusual for someone to walk into one of those schools and to see a gymnasium that's built for PE and for physical activities and for all sorts of games and fun and wild, for those types of activities to be confined to a singular classroom, right? It would be unusual to have a great big lunchroom, but then to see a bunch of students huddled up in the principal's office having lunch. Some of you said, I eat lunch in the principal's office all the time. That was on you, okay? That's not how it was designed. Yet, why is this so difficult for us to understand God's ordering and design, his architecting, if you will, of the family? And yet, culture has corrupted, it has confused what God gave to us as a gift for human flourishing. And in fact, the teaching of Jesus undergirds this. In Matthew chapter 19, we're not going to turn there, but I'll just tell you that there was a group of kind of religious elites, if you will. They're trying to draw Jesus off sides, trying to draw Jesus into an argument, trying to trap Jesus with some confusion about the question of divorce. And when being posed with this question in Matthew 19, Jesus responds, and instead of getting drawn into a tit-for-tat argument about what constitutes a legal divorce and what does not, what Jesus did was backed up and he held up God's good design for marriage and family. And so that's what we need to do. We need to hold high what culture is corrupting and attempting to bring low. And we need to understand this is God's good gift to you and to me. So if you can remember our conversation from last week, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, and we read the first four verses. And I reminded you last week that God specifically begins by talking to children and discussing what it looks like to walk in reverent respect of the parents that God has placed them to or given them to. And then we camped out on verse number 4, which is the instruction to moms and to dads. And so today we're going to back up and we're going to talk specifically to kids. I was talking to Mary earlier, and she said, man, I could have used some of this last week. I mean, last week you're getting on, it's Mother's Day, and you're talking to parents about don't provoke. I needed some of that kids obey last Sunday, okay? So we're up, okay? Now it's time for us to talk about what it means to be a child who is spirit-filled in their walking responsibly within the family that God has entrusted to their care. This is Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to just read the first three verses together. Let's start with verse number 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1, if you're there, say, I got it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm just going to stop and say this is the very first verse we ever had our oldest daughter memorize. She was so young, she couldn't say Ephesians. She said Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. We're going to unpack this simple instruction. If you have heard me preach, this is going to be the simplest sermon I've ever given. Just two big ideas. They come right from the text, but I think they matter significantly to you and to me. The first one is this: children are expected to obey their parents. Now, I know this is super controversial, but it shouldn't be. This comes right from God's word. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then he goes further and says, for this is right. And I think in order for us to best understand what this verse means, we have to first embrace this truth. You ready? This is not a suggestion. This is an imperative command. We're going to talk about the significance of that here in just a few minutes. But it goes back to the idea of submission that is divinely threaded by God for provision throughout the family. Again, remember that submission is not a dirty word. It's the designer's word for understanding how he has ordered and structured the family to flourish and to thrive for protection, for provision, ultimately for what God knows is our good. And Paul says that when you obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. That word is righteous, or it is a good thing. And the definition of obey, it means to hear or to listen under authority. Now, in an effort to try to be helpful, I want to do my best to break down this instruction regarding obedience, because one of the realities that we have to understand as it relates to this command, this imperative to obey our parents is this: while not everyone is someone's parent, we are all someone's child. While not everyone is someone's parent, we are all someone's child. Every person is a child of someone. Nobody spontaneously showed up in the creation. Every one of us has been born into a family. Now, that does not mean you were born into a healthy family. It does not mean your family of origin was a loving family. It does not mean your family is living today or that you have a relationship with them right now. But you have had parents. You were born into a family, and therefore everyone is someone's child. So then the question is, but if everyone is someone's child, are we all equally instructed to be obedient to our moms and dads? Is this command uniform? And the simple answer to that is no. I'm going to try to give you some understanding on what I believe is the imperative command as it relates to children's obedience to their moms and dads. First, I would say to the students who are under the age of 18, you are to obey your parents. To the students who are under the age of 18, you are commanded to obey your parents. And specifically, I would say, because legally, you're not an adult. Okay? To our young adults that are over the age of 18, but living at home, obey your parents. Okay? So if you're over the age of 18, living at home, obey your parents, because you're not living as an adult. And then I would say to the students that are or young adults that are over the age of 18 but still financially dependent upon their parents, obey your parents, because you're not responsible yet like an adult. Again, throwing no shade at any young adult, but I believe if you want to understand what Paul's instruction to the church, what God's command for the family structure and order is, to obey your parents in the Lord. And again, I want to try to be helpful, so let's talk about what obedience looks like and what it does not. Here's the first thing. Obedience is not God's expectation if your parents or your family authority, so that could be if you're living with grandparents or you're living with foster parents or you're living with a legal guardian. Obedience is not God's expectation if your family authority is instructing you to do something immoral or illegal. Then you are not to obey. Okay? Here's how we know. Because God is never going to transgress His word and instruct people to do something, commit something, think something that is inherently sinful, that would be a transgression of what His word has made abundantly clear, even if that instruction comes from an institution that God Himself ordained. God does not transgress Himself. Our God is not a God of confusion. And so obedience does not is not expected if a family authority is giving instruction for a child to do something that is illegal or immoral. Here's the second thing. Obedience is not optional based on your agreement with the directive that is given. So there's going to be a lot of things that your parents ask you to do that you disagree with, that you don't understand, or you perhaps even find unreasonable. And yet your obedience is not contingent upon your agreement with what you are being asked to do. And delayed obedience is disobedience. And all the parents said, amen. So children, students, if you are falling within this category of what it means to obey your parents and the Lord, then delayed obedience, your delayed obedience is disobedience. Just call it what it is. Because you are not submitting yourself to the authority that God has placed over you. First time obedience is the expectation of God. And listen, the Bible gives explicit warning when we walk in disobedience. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this language is strong. Paul writes to his protege and he says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Now, how do we know we're heading into the last days? Well, this is what Paul says. There will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Some of you parents right now are thinking, I think Jesus could come today. So listen, disobedience is the New Testament language for how we know that evil is taking over. And so what the culture seems to celebrate and create a confusion around, and I would argue corrupt as it relates to the truth of God's word, is this idea that there should be some type of individual autonomy as it relates to decision making and no accountability or authority, but that defies the way God has ordered and structured the family to work. And so if you meet the criteria that I outlined a moment ago, then simply stated, you are to obey your parents. And here's what I would say is the reason why, is because your obedience or lack thereof says more about your relationship with God than it actually does your relationship with your mom and dad. Because what is the language of the New Testament? Children, obey your parents, what? In the Lord. Right? So it actually has much more to do with our obedience to God, our submission to God, our trust in God, than it actually does the directive that had been given by mom and dad. That's why Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching. In chapter 13, in verse 1, he said, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And so if you are one of the students or the young adults that would meet the criteria for what it looks like to be obedient to your mom and dad, obedience is God's instruction, even when our parents are failing to give that instruction to us. It's the command. It's the imperative. Here's the second thing that is said in verse 2. Children are expected to honor their parents. Children are expected to honor their parents. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. He says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I titled this morning's message, The Forgotten Fifth. In Exodus chapter 32, the Bible tells us that Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, and God gave specifically 10 instructions, the 10 commandments. Y'all remember Charlton Heston went up on the mountain, and he got the 10 commandments from God. Some of you are like, I have no idea. Just forget it. All right? The fifth commandment of God was to honor your father and your mother. And when I was working on the sermon at home this week, Coleman, my number two, who's a senior, now a senior in high school, came into my office and he saw me working on my sermon and he looked on the computer screen. He could see the title of my message was The Forgotten Fifth. I do have five children. He goes, oh, is this about Campbell? And I was like, come. That's sorry, dude. Fam, here's what I think we have to understand as it relates to the reality that everyone is someone's child. It seems to me like this instruction toward honoring is never an instruction that a child will outgrow. Obedience, yes. For sure, there comes a time when a child is beyond the obedient authority of their mother and their father. But honoring your parents doesn't seem to be an instruction that we ever outgrow. And so the word honor, it means to revere, to value, and to prize someone or something. And again, I believe that everyone is someone's child. This is an instruction that all of us are to follow through, because none of us are ever able to outgrow. I have a really good friend of mine. He's 63 years old. He himself is married with children and grandchildren. His mother, who is 93 years old, is still alive, and she has health complications. She lives out of state, and I get to watch firsthand my friend honor his mom. And the way in which he does that is that he travels frequently to go and to see her. He works with her doctors and her therapists to make sure that there is good care and provision for her. And guess what? He told me in a conversation just this last week that at times his mother, 93 years old, still tries to coach him and tell him exactly what he should do. And so he doesn't roll his eyes and he doesn't talk back. He just says, yes, ma'am. He just says, yes, ma'am. Because he wants to honor, he understands that the Bible's specific in its instruction to us that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. So let's talk about how all children can honor their parents. First, to those who meet the qualifications that we outlined earlier for obedience. So again, students who are living at home and they're not legally an adult, young adults who may not be living at home, but are still financially dependent upon their parents, not responsible like an adult, and young adults who are living at home, and so they're not living as an adult. So to those, I would say the easiest way for you to honor your mom and your dad is to obey them. That's the easiest way for you to check both boxes, that you want to honor your mom and your dad, and so you just obey them. And you just submit yourself to them and you trust that God has placed you divinely, supernaturally under their care. And guess what? When you do this, did you realize that you position yourself to receive a supernatural blessing from God? Because this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you in the land, right? So this was Old Testament language because God had preserved a promised land. We studied this when we walked through the book of Joshua. And the instruction was that there is a promise of blessing, that things are going to go well for you, your life is going to be better for you if you'll submit yourself to the authority God has placed over you. And in the institution of family, that's mom and dad. And so we're under the new covenant. We don't have the promise of a land, but we have the promise of an eternal blessing in Jesus Christ. And it begins with our salvation. And Paul says one of the great evidences of a child's salvation is the way in which they are obedient and subsequently they honor their mom and their dad. And then we are rightly postured and positioned to receive a supernatural blessing from God. And so let's talk about what it means for us to honor. If this is truly instruction, if this is truly an imperative command that we never outgrow, then what does it look like for us, even us as adults who are beyond the authority of obedience to our earthly parents, what does it look like for us to honor them? Well, the first is this recognition that honoring is not contingent upon our parents always acting in an honorable way. Our honoring our moms and dads is not contingent upon our parents always acting in an honorable way. Here's the latest breaking news flash that all of you already know. You ready? Students, your mom and your dad are all jacked up and they need Jesus just as much as you. So your honoring your parents, okay, is not contingent upon them acting in an honorable way. Okay? Because everybody needs Jesus. In fact, theologically, now we understand this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That all means everyone. That everyone would include your mother and your father. And so some of you are carrying around, even some of us adults, we're carrying around a wounding, a bitterness, a feeling of resentment that has inhibited us from walking in this explicit instruction to honor our mom and our dad, and we're tying it to a moment when they acted dishonorably, perhaps even toward us. Man, they're sinners. And sinners need salvation, and salvation comes in Jesus. So, of course, if you are contingent upon honor based on the moments when it would be, when it, you believe it is due, it's going to be few and far between. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in the moment that we least deserved it is the moment God decided to give it. So who are we to withhold what God has instructed for us to give based on our feeling of whether or not it is seemingly deserved? You with me? So honor is not contingent upon a parent always acting in an honorable way. Now, let me just circle back to the moms and dads. But we should strive for being honorable. I mean, this was the instruction last week. Like we should pursue a life that is worthy of a child honoring us. We should walk in humility. We should cling closely to Jesus. We should ask for forgiveness often. and be about the things that God is, pursue righteousness intentionally so that it's easy for our children to honor us. Now, let's think about this as it relates to all of us being a child of someone, and we want to honor our moms and our dads. For our youngest students, honor means trusting and obeying your parents. That's what it means to honor. So for our youngest students, when we trust our parents and when we submit ourselves and obey our parents, we are honoring our parents as the Bible has instructed us in the Lord. So trusting and obeying. And sometimes that's going to involve you surrendering because you don't understand what it is mom and dad are asking you to do. Yeah, but guess what? You're not the parent. They are. And so just submit yourself to their authority. Choose to trust and obey because you want to honor your mom and your dad. For our students, our teenagers in particular, and our young adults, to honor your parents means you involve them and communicate with them often. So that's how you honor your mom and your dad. So for our teenagers and for our young adults, this means that if you're thinking about what my course schedule is going to be, if you're thinking about what your summer plans might be, if a friend invited you to go to their house this weekend or a family vacation next month, if you have an opportunity to go to Whataburger and stay out a little late, this means you don't tell your parents, but rather you ask your parents because you're communicating with your parents and you want to involve your parents in the decisions you're attempting to make. Why? Because you want to honor your mom and your dad, right? So that's what it looks like, I think, for adults. To honor your parents means you bless them and you care for them. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says that if anyone does not provide for his family, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So I believe that a part of our honoring our mom and our dad is that not only do we figure out ways in which we can bless them, okay, so spend time with them, reach out to them, especially send them, like I know one of the ways in which Mary and I can bless our parents is we send them pictures often. We have to be really intentional about that. And guess what? I stink. Mary's good. So, but we're a team. We're one flesh. So she wins, I win. So I'm saying that you figure out how you can bless your parents. That's the way in which you can honor them and then care for them. And there may, in fact, be some financial responsibility with that. But at least you're helping your parents manage their resources as they move into the latter years of their life. You help provide good health care and living arrangements, and you help them responsibly move into the next chapter with great dignity. This is what it looks like for adults to honor your father and your mother. And then for our oldest adults in the room, I believe honoring your father and your mother means remembering well your father and your mother. This isn't how you choose to talk about them, the ways in which you choose to think about them, the things you're going to write down that are going to be the stories you tell about them. You try to do so in a way that is honorable for them. So if you're a grandparent and your parents have been in heaven for any number of years and you're talking to your grandchildren about the way in which you were raised, listen, we already established this. We know Jesus is not who raised you. They're not perfect. So you've got horror stories and you've got hurts and you've got issues, but there also are some things in that that were good. And draw on those, dwell on those. This is a way in which you can honor your father and your mother. And you don't have to lie and make things up, but there's a way you can communicate the truth in such a way that it is still honorable to the parents that God had entrusted you to. And so, in thinking about the response to our conversation today, I think I want to encourage you to process this conversation in two distinct ways. The first is this. I just want to ask you, as it relates to thinking of yourself as a child of someone, did you know that the Bible says to everyone who belongs to God, They are actually adopted into his family and then given the title of child of God. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then it talks about specifically how that adoption, how that birth takes place, that this is not your doing, it's not the doing of someone else, but rather this is the work of God alone. And so for some of you, the reason why I'm confident earthly relationships are fractured is because you have not first been reconciled to your heavenly Father above. And there are some of you this morning who are in this room, and you have this feeling, this stirring in your gut. There are some of you who are watching online, and you are questioning whether or not you are a child of God. And I'm telling you, you can answer that for eternity, and you can do it right now. If you will choose to confess that you're a sinner, call on Jesus to be Savior. The Bible said your sins are forgiven, and you are granted life everlasting with God. And guess what? You're now a child. You're a child of God. And there are far too many of us who are trying to navigate broken earthly relationships when we have not yet figured out the heavenly one. And so the question for you this morning is, are you a child of God? The second question that I want you to wrestle with this is, as an earthly child of an earthly mom and dad, ask yourself if you're living and loving, obeying and honoring your parents as God has instructed you to. Ask yourself this, do I need to confess something to God about a gap that has grown or a fracture that exists between me and my earthly mom and dad? Do I need to ask my parents for forgiveness because I've been dismissive, I've rolled my eyes, I'm long past the days of obeying them, but man, I've missed it when it comes to honoring them. And so I need to just reach out and ask them to forgive. And you think, well, Pastor, you don't know what they've done, and you don't know the things that they've said and the ways that they've acted. And I'm saying, yeah, but God does. And you are still instructed to honor your father and your mother. And I believe there are far too many broken relationships. You know how much counseling I do from children of all ages who are navigating the broken relationship with a mom and dad? And I believe God wants to restore. I just believe that. And so there are students and young adults who are in this room today, and you need to ask your mom and dad to forgive you because you have not been obedient and you have not honored them well. There are adults in this room, and obedience might not be the issue that you have because you're long beyond having to submit yourself to their earthly authority. But honor, man, you have not acted in an honorable way. And so you need to ask your parents for forgiveness. You need to seek to be reconciled. And if you want to pray with a minister this morning and just ask God to do a redemptive work in your family with your earthly mother or your earthly father, then come forward in just a moment and pray with a minister. If you're not sure if you're a child of God, but you want to be, come forward and grab the hand of a minister and say, I want to be a child of God. If your family is navigating some type of friction, or there's some type of issue, or there is some type of brokenness in your relationship, even within your home, then come forward and let us ask God. I know a God who raises dead people to life. You think he can't restore the brokenness in your family, the brokenness in your home? This is what he does, because that's who he is. And so my hope for you is that you'll respond to however God is leading you, but that we'll be a people who understand. How is it that God refers to himself most often in the New Testament? He's a father, right? He's a father. And so he wants us to understand what that relationship could really be. And so whatever it is that God is leading you to do, I pray that you'll be obedient to respond to that. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, we'll lift our voices, we'll sing of his goodness, and you'll be given an invitation, and the opportunity is yours. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for all that you've done. God, I pray right now for this invitation. I pray that in this room, right now, you would start calling people to yourself, that you would stir people's affections. I believe with all of my heart that there are relationships that are fractured. Your Holy Spirit is stirring right now within people who know that they need to seek reconciliation because of a brokenness that exists between their own mom and dad. So God, would you heal? Would you restore? Would you renew? And we ask it in faith. We believe in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look up, I'm going to ask you to stand.